Take the Long Way Home is the first novel of what I think will be many books by Kevin McGuire. Kevin, how are you?
Rick, it's great to be here, and I appreciate you having me down.
What is it about the South? Explain it to me. I'm from Old Town. Explain it to me. Well, you know Dennis and John.
I do. And Dennis and I go way back. We used to coach grade school basketball together. And John, I knew his younger brother, and went to the same school where my children go, St. Lawrence. A little shout-out for them. It's a wonderful institution. And the South Side is just a unique, as I said, it's a unique joint. And with crazy people and crazy stories, and
they're really good stories in this book, Take the Long Way Home. It's about a father's a football coach. It's about like most of the stuff I've read that comes out of Beverly and Mount Greenwood and other areas of the South Side. Everything seems to revolve around sports and family. Period.
I would agree, and it's just kind of a coming of age as you come through grade school.
Yeah.
And, you know, at our age, I'm 55 now, and there's a lot of nostalgia looking back at how we grew up. In one of the, I think, opening scenes I create in the book, I have the comment that we were lightly supervised, and it was awesome.
It was awesome for me, too.
I mean, my parents were there,
side.
But
They were like, go play.
And it's just a really... you know, just a wonderful upbringing with wonderful people, and I enjoyed it.
But you were, Kevin, as you told me before this started, you were kind of a secret writer for decades.
It's been a long journey, Rick, and I'll say this. In college, I majored in history and English.
With
and
the idea of doing what for a living?
Like most people, absolutely no idea.
True.
Right?
Yep.
And so I wrote quite a bit in college, and... you and I were talking before the show started, and I remarked to one of my professors, Dr. Herzig, if you're out there in the Netherlands, that I would write a novel, and he, of course, rolled his eyes. And, you know, sure you will, kid. And so anyways, I started writing then, put it down for a little bit. But as I started to have my own children, you know, I turned 30-ish and started to have children, and I really start. I kind of
how many kids do you have?
I have 5 children.
See, that takes up a lot. That leaves takes very little time. Free time
for sure.
To so indulge you gotta, the writing
you
habit.
You got to... You got it. Not like you have to set a schedule, but you kind of have to devote yourself to doing it.
Sure.
And so how I got here, the short of the very long story, is that I did a lot of short stories. I took a stab at a few novels, and I was always kind of doing it, and I would jot down ideas and come back to them. And this one started about 6-7 years ago, and about halfway through, I thought, this is something I think people might actually really enjoy.
What was the seed of this novel? What was the notion? You know, there's a retiring football coach. I'm not sure that would do it. What was the seed of this thing? Because a novel is you're biting off an awful lot.
Exactly. So the seed of it is my own experiences, especially growing up on the South Side, having wonderful parents, like all of my friends did.
Wow.
And kind of that genesis of, you know, creating a world. I've always been a fairly creative person. It's creating that world that we all existed in. And, you know, it's funny, as I've sent this out to people and just kind of really, you know, published a few weeks ago, and the reception has been fantastic.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of notes from people like, oh, I always thought about doing that, but I never, you know, put pen to paper. And I'm like, well, therein lies the rub.
When did you do this? When did you sit down?
A lot of times at night, afternoons, weekends. Primarily at night. For some reason, I get a little more pensive and thoughtful when the sun
really
goes down.
True? Your wife had no idea what you were doing?
My wife had no idea. I told her, I don't know, about a year ago, as I was kind of finalizing editing and all that, and she just looked at me, and she's like, I'm stunned. She's like, but it does not surprise me. She's like, you're kind of a, you know.
I thought you were having affairs online. You were in there for hours, and I thought you were having affairs. And I, you know, we're old, and you can do what you want. No, you were writing a novel.
I was writing a novel, and so,
what did she think when you? I'm assuming you gave it to her shortly thereafter,
of course. And she started. She's had some very interesting commentary, and I will be fairly honest. And I think this is common for a lot of writers that I've talked to. She was a little hesitant and reticent to read it first because she's like, I'm reading these words. I know it has nothing to do with us or our family or She's like, but I hear your voice, and it's just mesmerizing. She's like, I can't get that out of my head.
But that, aren't you happy at that?
Yes.
It's not a criticism at all.
No, not at all.
I think it's really
I think it means it's hitting home.
Wonderful commentary if she hears your voice in this thing.
I will say, Rick, probably the biggest commentary I've gotten, not only from her, but from the you know hundreds and hundreds of people, is you write a very authentic story. The people are real. They're real characters. They're the kind of people we grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, our parents, our parents' friends, our priests, our, you know.
When, after a certain number of years, when did you say to yourself, okay, I think I have finished a novel?
Well, that's a great question, because do you ever really? I still read it now, and I'm like, I'm going to change this.
Or I know, but there does come a point where you just can't stay with it anymore.
You got to call it a day, right, and move on it.
It's like sending your child off to kindergarten.
No doubt. So I'll tell you a funny story. So how this really came to fruition, you know, there's an old, for lack of a better word, joke amongst writers that, and I'm making up the numbers, but there's maybe 200 million books ever, you know, printed and published.
Yeah.
But there's about 2 billion almost finished. Right?
That's well.
And you know better than I do.
That's well put. First time novelist. The novel is Take the Long Way Home. Kevin McGuire is his name. The South Side is his world. It had to be a little difficult, Kevin, with all the adventures you've had in your life and all the people you've known in your life, to kind of mesh that with your imagination to create people who are not. I'm sure there are people who read this book and say, "Is that me? Is that me? Is that me? Is that me?" And it's not, generally. I mean, it's a weird meshing of reality and imagination to put all this together. Yeah,
well, yeah. You're hitting the nail on the head. It's a complete amalgamation.
Yeah, yeah.
There is no, people constantly, just in the last few weeks, have come up to me or emailed me or text me or whatever the medium is. Like, oh, my God, that must have been, that school, or that quarterback was that guy, or can you believe that happened? I'm like, well, first of all, none of it ever happened.
Yeah.
It's all in my head.
Right.
It's all fake.
Well, see, even I'm not a Southsider, but I certainly know the Verdant Country Club, golf and country club, is the famous Beverly.
Where I caddied for 7 years.
Wow. Read something. Would you mind?
I'd be delighted.
This is the author reading. He's going to eventually, the book's just recently published, so he'll be at various stores and libraries reading it and selling it and talking about it. And here it is from Take the Long Way Home. Here's Kevin McGuire.
Sure. So Rick asked me to kind of find a paragraph in the beginning where we do a little bit of a setup. And so I'm not sure what page I'm on here, but I turned off the car in front of the house and got out and sprinted up the front steps, as I had 1,000 times before. Unfortunately, I'd once been a lot more limber, and I almost crippled myself as I slipped on the third stair. No reason to try that again, I thought. When I walked through the front door and heard the faint trace of Irish music coming from the kitchen, I knew I was home. As in many families throughout the South Side, there was almost always Irish music on in our house when we were growing up. Sometimes it was from a record, and often it was the radio, but it was always on. The theme of many Irish songs was the killing, the dying, the maiming, and the suffering of the Irish people. This potpourri of fun had been doled out by the British, Ireland's nemesis in the fight for freedom. The peculiar thing about the songs and the people who sang them at parties or bars was the near glee with which they sang as the song's subjects were being tortured to death by the British. The verses would start slowly in a lilting cadence and steadily rise to a rousing chorus, which typically resulted in the exaltation of justice and the overthrow of British tyranny. While the music wasn't exactly Italian opera, for the thousands of families throughout the South Side, it was a connection to the homeland and a reason for being.
Wow, that's really good writing. The thing that really stunned me about this book, I know you know my Kathy Murray, and I know some of your sisters, and I would have had you on if it was written in crayon and was about two monkeys or something. But
that's the next.
It's
book.
It's a very self-assured writing, Kevin. I mean, that's the one thing that really surprised me. I mean, it's not halting. It's not awkward. It flows like crazy. There are beautiful paragraphs like that in this book. Did you have to do a lot of rewriting?
For sure.
And okay.
So I would say this, Rick. And I'm probably speaking to everyone out there who's almost finishing their book.
And so maybe this will inspire you.
Yeah. And so, which oddly enough, and I know we'll get into it in a little bit, but it's a lot about what the book is about, which is living your life and not enduring it.
Yeah.
Don't take what don't take what you're given. Go out and chase your dreams, essentially. Yeah. I think I was kind of speaking to myself a little bit by doing this.
Sure.
So anyways, to your question, you're putting it all together, and some of the things that I had written previous, there was a lot of self-doubt, you know, and unsure of myself, and like, I don't know, will people like this? And, you know, so I never finished them, right? I'm going to give a great tip to anyone who's close to doing it. As we discussed earlier, I never told anybody about this. I was in a bar in Iowa City with a bunch of friends from college.
Exactly.
And we're lamenting, you know, or, you know, having a great time. But my one friend, one of my best friends, Pete Raker, little shout out to Cascade, Iowa. I think Cascade days are going, a town of maybe 300 people. Wow. It's wonderful, wonderful people. And we're sitting there, and he was telling some story about his family, or, you know, just lamenting like, oh, this happened, or my brother did this, or my dad did that, or whatever.
Sure.
And finally, I think I did it subconsciously. I'm like, well, Pete, you're not going to believe this. I'm actually writing a novel about all that type of stuff, but I'm just not finished yet. And we talked some more, and then the next morning, we're having breakfast before we're all leaving. And I'm like, he's like, all right. He goes, now that you told me, you're accountable. He's like, I'm going to follow up with you, and I'm going to make sure you finish this thing. And I was probably 90% done, but I just hadn't, you know, put the nail in the coffin, so to speak. And by telling someone, it actually made me finish.
How difficult was it? These are really, as you know or have recently learned, these are wicked days in the publishing business.
For sure.
One of the nice things is you can, many people, and many have been on the show, self-publish.
Absolutely.
How did you go about getting this book published? Did you think, wow, I'm going to send this to some agents in New York and get $1 million for it?
For sure. And I'll be honest. So I had a couple guys, and I think you mentioned their names already. John Ruane, who actually was on your show. I listened to him on your show.
Yeah.
Didn't know him. I reached out to him. He's like an author's website type
thing. Yeah, sure.
So I emailed him. And by golly, within 24, 48 hours, he emailed me back.
That's the kind of guy John is.
Donated a ton of time to me and really laid out the business. And just gave me, to be honest, I don't think I would have gotten this far without his help, because he gave me, he's like, your editor, whoever you choose to edit this, he's like, they can destroy your book if they don't have the same voice. Or they don't understand where you're coming
from.
Good
point.
And he's like, I've worked with this one woman who was phenomenal. And he's like, I think she'll really get your shtick, right? You know, I'd sent him a few chapters and he was reading. He's like, you have a very compelling story here. He's like, so I used one of his editors, his cover artist for one of his books. He's like, this guy's great. And it's a beautiful cover.
It is.
Really captures, you know, what the...
It sure does.
Looking in the distance, the church, the little Catholicism.
Hey, it's the south side. There's a church and a football field and a father and son. What more do you want? There are no drinks on here.
Some of that in the book.
Yeah, oh, there's I know there's some in the book.
And then Dennis Foley, I had sent him... like I said, we've known each other for a long time. And I sent him what was essentially a finished manuscript. And same idea, just gave some helpful hints and a lot about the business. I did send out, this is interesting, so I did send out to some agents and shockingly, you know, you read up on this stuff and you learn that your chance of getting contacted back is like 1 in 1 million to begin with.
No kidding.
Actually get a couple calls back.
Did you?
However, in both cases, and I'm not going to say who they were, but because they were great people, but they had a little bit different of a vision and they wanted me to change. Like, you know, would you add this character? Maybe that arc needs to be different. And I'm like, that's just not my story.
Yeah.
You know? So I stuck to my guns and...
good for you. And you self-published this.
Self-published, right. But with a lot of help.
Yeah, of course.
You know, formatters and all the people that actually really know what they're doing. You know, I know how to tell a story.
What was it like when you got the first bound copy of this thing?
Well, so you know what I did?
I have no idea.
I'm an organized kind of person. And I ordered one for myself. To make sure the process actually worked. Like Amazon ships, you know, stuff all over the world.
Yeah, sure.
But they might mess up my book.
Yeah, so, of course. They're not going to do mine correctly. Yeah.
So yeah. I sent, you know, and again, I really didn't tell anybody, you know, a couple of family members. I gave them a first shot to read it. I'm like, this is not about us, but I want to give you guys an opportunity to check it out. And
the response, as you said earlier, the response has been
very fantastic.
Very positive.
Yeah. Just with the minimal amount of... you know, my marketing plan is me going through my phone and texting it, you know, the link to people and email. Now I'm starting to get a little more legs. I've a couple newspaper articles. And
yeah, there was a lovely piece. I guess it would be in this week's Beverly Review.
Correct.
A very nice kind of interview in which you say, Mr. First Novelist, who's now very empowered by the whole thing, that this is you're working on your next one.
For sure. I'm about, I wouldn't say halfway through, but I'm a good part of the way through the follow-up to this.
Same family.
Same family. Can't tell you what happens because...
No.
You know, and you got to read to find out. And So it'll be similar, but very different. A lot more family dynamics and just things that I think will interest people.
How do you find the writing? Is it? Do you find it easier?
Yeah. So, well, I have my own, and I've honed this over the years, to be honest. Like I said, I've done this for a long time, and all the, you know, half the stuff stunk, and
you know,
the other half kind of stunk and whatever. Yeah, but I developed my own way of doing it, and that is I tend to think of a beginning and an end of a story. Right. So I kind of know what I want to say to start with, and I know how I want it to end. And then I kind of outline and fill in, like, it could be 10 o'clock at night driving home. I'll, you know, voice text myself, you know, put this part in there. So, or, you know, I'll write something down and come back to it. And they start to form the genesis of, like, of the overall story. But I generally kind of do a beginning and end, so I kind of know what I want to say. So I'm pretty much done with that in the second one, and I'm just kind of, you know, writing the story. I'm also working on a couple other projects that interests me very much. And
a couple of writing projects?
Yes, for sure. A couple other things.
This is great. At least your wife is not worried. She can go to sleep without worrying that you're having some long-distance internet affair with somebody. I think that's good. Her name is Gina.
Honey, right? Honey, if you're listening, it's all good.
Yeah. I don't know how you lived all those years thinking that he was cheating on you.
She literally did not know.
You think of yourself, it's hard to this early in the process until maybe you speak at a library. You think of yourself as a writer now? You think you fulfilled your buddies and your old professor's
I don't know.
Dreams?
I think of myself, I would say this, I've always enjoyed telling stories. And I think I'm fairly adept at it. People seem to listen when I'm doing it. And there's usually a chuckle or a tear or whatever you know, the genre is. And so I've always been a storyteller, and I think that's, at least for this particular character, it's a lot of how I write. It reads like a conversation he's having with the reader.
I totally agree.
I don't want to call myself a writer yet, but I guess I am.
Look, you got to be some librarian out there who is thinking there's a nice library in Beverly on 95th Street. Very nice yes. library, frankly. And call him. You can obviously tell he'd be a lively. That's part of the whole thing, too.
For sure.
The one thing you haven't started to really do
Correct.
Is the marketing part of
yep.
the whole being a writer stuff and the appearances one has to make. And you have to be, in many ways, Kevin, a salesperson, too.
For
and
sure.
I think you'd be a great one.
And I've kind of gotten that gist. And, you know, one of the things that I lament a little bit is, you know, I really have no social media footprint.
Yeah.
I've been on it, and I certainly read Twitter, and I'll catch the occasional Facebook, you know, story from someone, but I've never done it myself. And I definitely am starting to do that.
Yeah.
You know, follow people who I'm interested in who have similar, you know, takes. And
well, I think I don't have one either, but I think it's not that difficult to have a page.
Yeah. So it's all in the works.
In my incredible expertise, I don't even know what you call these things, a website, a something, a page. Well, I got to tell you something. This it's a wonderful read. I read it like in a day and a half, not in a whole day, a
right,
night,
sure.
night and a half, when I sneak away at night to to have my affair with various novels and novelists and things like that. You can be very, very proud. Your kids can be proud, your wife can be proud, your family can be proud.